Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible, it'll tell you what to do. Be not weary, in doing well, for in due season, you're gonna reap. Yeah. Say, be not weary.
Good morning, my name is Gray Bunn, and I am 11 years old. You're listening to Free on the Inside, my papa, Diggy Joe Lewis.
Well, hello, welcome once again to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, as stated by Young Gregory Bunton. I'm Deacon Joel Lewis, and you're listening to an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you could be in Christ Jesus. As you log on to this program, you'll hear our song, Do Not Grow Weary in Well Doing. I am so honored and pleased to have men and women to come on to this program talking about ministry and about ministry that, and we want to encourage them to be strong in what they're doing, and in turn they encourage us. But also we would just like you to take time out and the information that they're sharing with us and the ministries that they're a part of, I want you to give them a call. I want you to touch bases with them and see what God is up to. I want to thank Beverly Beasley being a sponsor of this internet program. She's the CEO of Granny's Place. Granny's Place is a nonprofit ministry that's meeting the needs of our young men and women. We're stationed over at the First Free Will Baptist Church, which is in the Duncanville area. We know that this is an internet program, so the Duncanville is a suburb outside of Dallas, the city of Dallas. And so with that ministry, we're able to go out and minister to our young men and women to tell them the important it is to following their passion, what important it is to turn their life over to Christ Jesus. As you listen to this program, you see that we have people from all various walks of life and skill levels. We have writers, we have authors, we have movie entertainers, we have producers, we have doctors on here occasionally. But also we have you, and we want to thank you for listening to this program. This number that you can call in, you can share this number, is 310-982-4126. And I want to say hello to Elder Linda Jordan for last week. We was over at the Linda Jordan Outreach Ministry Program, the Get It All Out Youth Summit. We had a great time. We did our show live from that. I love that. I love it outside the studio, being out there in the field, so to speak, and just sharing the gospel and listening to men and women, how they've been encouraged by hearing the Word of God. But this morning we have a guest on the program. He's no stranger to our internet program. He's been here before, but last week he was at one of the street ministries which I'm associated with. And man, let me tell you, it was on fire. I'm happy to have this young man to come aboard here, and I'm going to bring him right on. He's going to be able to introduce himself, and then we're going to just let God do his thing. Good morning, Pastor Wiley. You're on the net. Good morning. I think we may have lost him there for a minute here. We're going to see. We're going to try to get him right back here. So as we get ready to dial him up again, we want you to be mindful that this is the internet program we're on each and every week. And so our time is from 8 to 9. We normally have two guests to an episode here. Let's see, can we bring him back on here in a minute here and see if we can get him going here. Good morning, Pastor Wiley. You on the net?
Praise the Lord. Praise
hey,
Lord.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear
can
you now.
Hear
God bless you. Yeah, hey, I got you.
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing. And please introduce yourself and tell us about what God is up to in the life and the ministry in which you're associated with.
Well, my name is Pastor Rodney T. Whaley. Name of ministry and church is Change of Hearts Ministry, church in Irving, Texas, and we're about winning souls. We're about building up God's kingdom and transforming lives in not only in the community, but God is going to eventually lead our ministry to transform lives in the world. So that's what we're up to, and that's what we're about, is pretty much winning souls and introducing people to our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ, because truly, Brother Joel, in my heart and my mind, the old ways are not working. You can just look around, and you can look out your front door, look at Fox 4 News, and see man's system is not working. And I believe the only way that people are really going to change is inwardly, outwardly, because that system isn't working, brother. That's a broken system. So we're about getting people saved and getting them born again, giving them a new mindset, you know, reintroducing them to the old biblical basic principles of the Bible. Take them back to the Ten Commandments: thou shalt not kill, steal. A lot of these kids never heard that. If they hear thou shalt not kill, maybe they'll stop killing.
You're so true. That is so true.
You remember when we was growing up, brother? Remember when we was growing up? Where did we see the Ten Commandments at? Posted right in front of the church.
Yeah. And at the schoolhouse. We know about that. When they took that prayer out of school, it made a big difference. Now, Pastor Wayne, now, as you last week I was able to see you down at one of our street ministry. Would you share with us the experience and the joy it is to be a part of something like that and how that is well needed? Because sometimes people want to challenge you. Why you want to do that? But tell us why we want to do that.
Well, what did Jesus do? Well, we're doing what Jesus did. We're following Jesus' example. Jesus did street ministry. He went from town to town, city to city, preaching the gospel. And if we are Christians and followers of Christ, we're going to follow that example. And we're going to be spirit-filled and spirit-led, because the Holy Spirit, eventually, he's going to lead you to do street ministry if you are spirit-filled, spirit-led Christian. See, the only way that you're going to be filled on the inside and fulfilled on the inside is to follow the Holy Spirit. I enjoyed it because a lot of people were liberated. A lot of people were saved. A lot of people were introduced to God. A lot of people may have heard of the message that I preached this past Sunday was, "Are You Born Again?" A lot of people may not have ever heard that truth in that way, and they may not ever hear it again. So only way that I believe that a Christian is going to truly get fulfilled inwardly and enter into the will of God is they actually experience street ministry once in their life. And I don't know why people are afraid of it and ask you, why would you do that? That's all the Lord did. He taught in the synagogue, but he went from town to town, preaching, running into people, healing the blind, casting out demons, doing good works for the kingdom of God. Amen.
So amen. That's what it's
go ahead, bro.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about there, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you go out there, you can see the hearts have been changing. You know, what our logo is saying, help change a life, but in Jesus' name. You know, we never know the lives that are going to be affected by sharing the gospel right where they are.
Amen.
You know, when I didn't have no shoes on my feet, you spoke to me. When I had no clothes, you spoke to me. I'm about the word of God. You know, so you can recall those things when Jesus was told Peter, said, "Peter, the enemy is out to get you, but I pray that when you are restored, you just do this to somebody else." And that's what we're called to do, man. When God brings us from darkness to light, we are obligated and encouraged through the Holy Spirit to help someone else.
Well, there's no such thing as a sideline Christian, Brother Joe. There is no, we cannot pick and choose what we want to do out the Bible. When Jesus says go into all the world and preach the gospel, that was not a suggestion, my brother. That was a commandment. And whatever God tells us to do, we should do it. We should do it. We should be obedient to the will of God. See, that's where a lot of Christians get stuck at. They stop at the altar. You don't stop at the altar, you know, because you're still stuck with self. Until you put self to death and start to follow the will of God, you will never fulfill his will. You will never enter into the will of God until you do what God wants you to do and you deny self. See, I was stuck at self many years. I went to the altar, Brother Joe, but I still want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. At this point in time, I don't do what I want to do. I don't speak what I want to speak. I don't go where I want to go. We go where the Holy Spirit leads us. If you are a spirit-filled, spirit-led Christian, you have denied self. Self. And that's the last enemy that we have to destroy. Death, self, and death is going to be the last enemy Jesus is going to destroy, but the enemy that we're faced with is self. Selfism, as I call it. So, brother, that's what we need to go. I'm talking to every Christian out there that considers himself or thinks themselves as being in the will of God. Are you bearing witness of the truth, which is Jesus Christ? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if you are really born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, are you doing the will of God? Are you giving a testimony of God? Have you won any souls? My question, I hear everybody criticizing pastors and preachers saying what we ain't doing. You need to start telling people what we are doing right. If the pastors aren't doing anything right, pray for them. Don't become their accuser of the brethren. That's what we must do. We must pray for the leaders. Also, Brother Joe, pray for the leaders, the pastors, because we're all trying to go enter into the kingdom of heaven. We're going down different paths. But pray for those who have backslid. Pray for those who are on crack, and pray for those who are smoking drugs. Pray for all the lost. We must unite and pray, and we as Christians must really, truly enter into his will. And God has really placed that on my heart to start preaching that we must deny self. Jesus said, may a man deny himself daily, take up his cross and follow me. He says those who save their lives shall lose their lives. Those who lose their lives for my sake and the gospel's sake shall save their lives. He said, what profit if a man to gain the whole world? What profit you if you gain the whole world, all the diamond, all the rubies, all the pearl, all the houses, all the women, all the men, and lose your soul? Or what will you give in exchange for your soul? See, we're still operating in that flesh instead of the spirit, brother. Amen.
Amen, amen. Now, Pastor, as you were sharing that there, I was getting a sense that you have a very deep compassion for God's people. And as we was talking offline here about the jail and prison and street ministry, you know, I have a passion for that right there. As you as we sharing the gospel with our men and women, we may not ever see the results of it, but we know without a shadow of doubt that God is working His mm-hmm. wonder working power in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did you mm-hmm. get involved in this type of ministry? Because there's a story behind things that we do. You know, we just don't just fall into it. We were led there and prompted by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What gave you the boldness to be able to go to the hedges and highways and proclaim that we serve a living and risen Savior?
Amen. Well, I once was a business owner, Brother Joel. I own a accounting firm and an insurance company. 10 years ago, as I became an usher leader in my church, probably longer than that, probably about 12 or 13, 14 years ago, I became an usher leader in my church, and God told me to preach the gospel back then. But I didn't listen. I wanted to continue to walk it with self and do what I wanted to do. And even making over $120,000 a year, I never did fulfill self. See, only the Holy Spirit can fill up that. See, for all the people out there that are still seeking money, it ain't going to work. Only the Holy Spirit will be able to fill that inner person, that inner man. You know, so after seven, eight years of running my own company, maybe 10, I forget how long, I said, okay, Lord, you got me. And as I was reading my Bible, one of my old brothers that I fellowship with came into church. He said, man, I just left downtown under the bridge, and I prayed over, I was sick, and I prayed over people, homeless people down there, and God healed me. I said, okay. I said, let's go back down there this week, next weekend. And we went down there under the bridge in Dallas, and make a long story short, within 6 months period of time, we led over 1,000 people to Christ. We went bought.
Amen.
We went purchased maybe 200 or 300 pieces of William chicken and preached the gospel on the streets. But God has given me a great need for souls, because at the end of the day, Brother Joe, I'm going to die. You're going to die. Even if we live 100 years, we're all going to stand before God on Judgment Day. At the end of the day, It ain't going to be about my PhD. It ain't going to be about my education. It's not going to be about my house or my car. God's going to say, what did you do for me? See, that's a fact. We're going to stand before him. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. Whether you're black, poor, or white, whether you're brown, male, female, short, fat, bald, it don't make a difference. We all going to stand before God on Judgment Day. And the only thing that's going to save us is Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus. Did you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And that's going to be the only thing that's going to save. So my passion is to lead people to Christ. Because even if Jesus doesn't come back today, we might go, everybody's like, well, Jesus is coming back. You might go to Jesus. We don't know. We don't know. But we all going to stand before him and have to give an account.
That is
good,
so true. That is so true. God bless you. And I'll tell you what, one other thing here, as our time is winding down here. And what words of encouragement can you give our young men and women that are seeking the things of this world that's coming to naught? You know, I do juvenile ministry, and I see young men and women that's continually to seeking after the thing that they think will satisfy them, thing that they think will get them peace. But yet those things are fleeting. We talked about that earlier. Trying like catching the wind. What words of encouragement can you give a young person to let them know that, you know, God is above in everything that we do?
Well, see, with the youth, they're looking for the adults to step up. They're looking.
Amen.
They're looking to stop finding preachers that are not keeping it real, because they're looking for someone to practice what they preach. You know, the youth looked up to Adolf. I'm going to use this wicked man as an example. They looked up to Adolf Hitler. He was a wicked man, but he kept his wickedness real. We need to keep our righteousness real. We need to stand on righteousness. We need to stand on holiness. We need to stand on truth. We need to, if we want the youth to change, the adults must change. See, men must change before kingdoms change, Brother Joe. See, it's like South Dallas. People talk about South. Ain't nothing wrong with South Dallas. Let the people change. The community will change. The hearts and the minds of men change. The youth are going to change. It's like a disease. Once righteousness overtakes, and the only way that they're going to find that righteousness is through Jesus Christ. See, and the youth got to see that leadership. If the leadership abides in the truth and in righteousness and in holiness, they're going to follow that same example. They're not going to respect the adults until the adults line up with God. We want the youth to change, Brother Joe, but we don't want to change.
You know, Pastor, you said something powerful because I do juvenile ministry. I had a young man say, "What the rest of y'all?" I said I was from this church doing this and that. He said, "What the rest of you? You know, we got here all the time. We don't see anybody." And so you really hit on something that the youth people, the young men and women, are looking for someone to say, "Hey, when I was in jail,
you
came to see me. But when I was in jail, you weren't there. You tell me about things, but when I go get in trouble, you know where to be found." And so you really said something there. Minister, we got to get out of here, but I thank you for being a guest on the program.
God bless you, brother.
Oh, man, God bless you. Now, you know, I was on fire last week. You know, you did a fabulous job down at the street mission up.
Amen.
And I saw as the lives are being changed, and I heard, as the son said, I heard the chain falling, you know.
Amen.
And the captive
was
being set free.
Well, people need to know that the only way before you go, that we are going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, is that you're born again. And when you're born again, it's going to happen like me. Over 15 years ago, I fell down in my apartment, drunk, high from marijuana. I said, "God, help me, because I can't help myself." And he came. And I had an encounter and an experience with God. He touched me. He filled me with his Holy Spirit. He gave me evidence in speaking in tongues before I even knew what a tongue was. So once you have an encounter with God, and he's going to transform your way of thinking. He's going to change your heart. He's going to change your mind, but you have to call on the Lord, call on Jesus. If you ever, if you got whoever's hearing this, if you got suicidal thoughts, call on Jesus. If you're suffering from depression or anxiety, call on Jesus. If you're going through a divorce or you're on drugs, you're on alcohol, all you need to say, if you have sexual addictions, if you're going through legal problems, call on Jesus. Don't ever give up. Never give up. Never. If you think your life, I didn't graduate from high school, college, and all that, call on the Lord. Your life is not over. It's just beginning. Remember that. Remember that. No matter what hand God has dealt, what you think God has dealt you, a life has dealt you, once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you win. You win. You are ahead of the game. You win in this life, and you will win in the next life that is to come. Because I hear people, and I address the youth, you're only 18, 19, 21 years old, and you think your life has ended. It's just beginning. And see, this is why these people are committing suicide, Brother Joel, and they try to fill up their inner man with pills. Kids are popping pills because the only thing that's going to fill them up on the inside is the Holy Spirit. The only thing
that's
going to fill you and I is the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, brother. We're about to run. I'm sorry about running over time, man. I just got me excited for a minute.
Well, you got me excited. Before you get off here, we got a call on the line. Yeah. We're going to open the line up right here just for words of comments and encouragement, and then we're going to end this segment of our program. But you just continue to hold on. Let's to our next guest.
Amen.
Good morning. You're on the net.
Good morning, Joel.
Good morning. Welcome to our program. Well, man, we're having a great time this morning, man, with Pastor Whaley here. He's just sharing us the goodness of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He certainly had me revved and pumped. One of the things I like about what he said is, you know, in the book of Daniel, God is identified as the Ancient of Days, which means that goes back before the beginning, because the beginning implies the start of something, the creation. And God was around before the beginning, because it says, in the beginning, God.
Amen.
So what that tells us is that the provisions for whatever we're dealing with or going through is older than whatever the problems are, okay?
Amen.
So like you said, the solution is real simple. But God. But
amen.
God. You don't have to remember anything. But God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Flemings. And I tell you what, we're gonna go ahead and wrap up this segment. Hold on. Do you have any other comments you want to say before I put you on hold?
Well, it's just like he said. All this life is about is going back to God, Brother Joe. This whole plan of God is just to redeem man back to himself. Because we are sons and daughters of God. Just remember that, brothers and sisters, who's ever hearing this. God's overall plan is to snap you and I out of the trance of sin. And Jesus is that should snap you out of that trance, to redeem you back to your original point that you should have been at before the fall of man, like the brother said. But God. And we'll be a lot happier, and we'll be a lot. And you'll never find. Before you go, God spoke this to me before I started preaching. He said, "Pastor Rodney, you will never find peace in your heart." And I'm gonna say this to everybody on here: you will never find peace in your heart until you make peace with your God. Remember that.
Amen. Amen. And so, hey, Pastor, thank you very much for being a part of this
program. God bless you, brother.
I
thank you for inviting me on, brother. You have a blessed day, and I look forward to having revival with you guys out there, I believe, in the next couple of weeks. And I look forward to working with you guys in the future, okay?
Amen. Sounds good. Again, your church?
Name our church is Change of Hearts Ministry, Irvin, Texas. You can contact us at 972-345-7953. Our website address is www.changeofhearts with S ministries.com. You can call us anytime, 7 days a week. We're open for prayers. We have a prayer line Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Feel free to give us a call, go to our website, get our prayer line address, telephone number and address and contact information. And I look forward to seeing you again, Brother Joe. God bless you, and I thank you for inviting me on the show, brother.
God bless you, and have a great day in the Lord. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Amen. Oh, what a great interview that we had, brother Pastor. Way with that, amen, to change your heart ministry. He was just sharing with us the goodness of God. And, you know, and as I was listening to him, I was all fired up. I thank God for men and women of God that's on fire for God. And, you know, each segment of our program is to encourage you to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We're in for another great interview that's coming up. We have Elder Michael Fleming is on the line. He's going to talk to us about the reentry program for the prison ministry, along with some other things here, because we want to empower and impact our listening audience with some information that to help change a life in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can go back to any of our archive shows, and you can get all the information regarding any of the ministries in which we share with you on these Saturday mornings. Now, just don't limit yourself to just Saturday mornings here. Go back anytime and say, I want to be a part of something. I want to invest some time in developing ministry. And, you know, a lot of times you don't have to start no ministry. It's like you want to buy a car. You don't have to go out and build no car. There's many, many places where you can go out and buy a car. So I encourage you to get in God's vehicle and drive. Amen. I will just leave it like that. And we're going to bring on our next guest this morning. Again, you too can call in and enjoy this program. The number is 310-982-4126. You can share it with your friends and family and see if they are willing to be a part of what's going on here. Amen. So the next voice you'll hear will be our next guest that's coming up here. Good morning, Elder Fleming. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. Oh, what a powerful interview we had there a while ago.
Man, the pastor was on fire, and I really enjoyed his testimony because it kind of mirrors mine, that no matter how much success you may have in the secular world and the accolades that you generate from people in the world, that if God has a calling on your life and a purpose, and he does for everybody, you cannot obtain the level of joy, peace, and contentment separate and apart from the fulfillment of God's will in your life. And you can give up everything. As Paul says, I count it all as dung in order to know the excellency of Christ, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering. You know what, man? The guy started me off on the right way this morning. I'm revved and ready to go.
Hey, man, I am too. And, you know, Mike, it's such a joy to have you to be a part of the program, brother. You have so much information that you're willing to share with our listening audience. And I love that, brother. I love that because you don't keep anything from anybody that wants to be a part of ministry. And I tell each and every one to be part of something bigger than yourself. Why just stop at yourself? Go beyond yourself and impact the life of someone else. I take it to heart when it said, help change a life in Jesus' name. Guess what? Someone changed my life. Someone introduced me to Jesus. I didn't get here overnight. I'm still struggling, brother. Do you know the places that I've been and the things that I've done? But yet God was always right there with me. If I went to the depth of hell, man, God said, come on out. You don't need to be there. I was on the top of the mountain, and God said, won't you just come be with me? You know, he said, come just the way you are. When I had stuff, when I didn't have nothing, Jesus was still my friend. You know, we live in a society. You got a friend. Sometimes you got money, you got a friend. But when you broke, you know, what the guy used to say, nobody wants you when you're down and out. Well, we know that God is a gracious and merciful God. He takes us even when we're down and out, but he's not going to leave us down and out. And I want to thank you for making an impact on the lives of God's people, making an impact on society to the best of your ability. I share with men and women, do the best you can, and God will do the rest. And we don't have to tote the whole load ourselves. He said, come and let me share that burden with you. You take on my yoke, for mine is easy.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times we burden down with curls and with things that we have to do, man. But God said, bring it to me. And that's what allows me to get up every morning. This is, you know, God, this is God being this, brother. I could be in there asleep, But God does this, man. I'm just a vessel.
That's right. That's why his word says that we are to bear one another's burdens. But the key to being able to bear my brothers and sisters' burdens is, as you just mentioned, when I yoke myself with Jesus. Because, see, when I'm yoked with Jesus, he enables me, because really it's him carrying me, and then through me, him carrying my brothers and sisters. See, one of the customs in ancient Israel, in ancient days, was that you didn't yoke an oxen with a mule or a donkey, so to speak, because the donkey is stubborn and will stop in the middle of the task, of the job, and then put an undue burden on the oxen. And so oftentimes wise farmers would take a seasoned veteran oxen and yoke him with a young, immature oxen, so that that young oxen didn't have to learn or figure out on his own what to do. He watched and observed, and he was yoked with the older, more mature, and it made his task and his job a lot easier. So when God used that illustration, that analogy, he was telling us something, that we're going to cast all our burdens upon him because he cares for us. If he cares for us, then we shouldn't have to be weary or anxious for anything, but know that God has made provisions for everything to the riches and glories of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Oh, that's powerful. That's powerful. And that gives us an opening for our discussion that we're going to talk about today. Now, you have shared with me some things that are very dear to my heart, and I know that you have a passion for it. And God has opened up many doors. Tell us more about this re-entry program through the prison ministry.
Well, you know, obviously, you and I have a burden for those who are suffering because they're incarcerated or they're suffering from the residual effects of having been incarcerated. But I think unknown, the lack of awareness for many people is that what we call the collateral consequences, the residual impact it has on our communities and specifically our children and their families. And oftentimes, individuals and their families are suffering from a lack of support and a system or a network that will provide some of the resources and support necessary to effectively reenter and reengage in the meaningful, productive things in society. We fail to realize that there are about roughly somewhere between 7.9 million, which is about 11% of the nation's children, are growing up in areas where at least 30% of the residents live below the federal poverty level, and that is due to the fact that they're suffering from the continuing impact of having been formerly incarcerated or being the child or a family member of an incarcerated or formerly incarcerated person. And so what we're trying to do is to address some of those systemic problems, first and foremost, by letting people know that you're not alone, that you have not only, you know, the ministries that go in to reach out to, you know, people with hurts, habits, and hang-ups while they're incarcerated, and trying to build bridges that will enable them to be able to transition back into their communities and specifically their families and homes of origin so that they can avoid or avert that high recidivism, that high potential to return to prison. So I work with several community groups, and one of the groups that I'm quite fond of is MATV, which is Mothers Against Teen Violence. Now, Mothers Against Teen Violence has changed their focus and their mission over the last 8 years or so. The original purpose was to address teen violence because the founder of this organization, George Strickland, had lost a son to a violent incident in South Dallas years ago. And so she started the organization to provide counseling and support services and so forth. But in 2008, her eyes were open when she began to
receive information and some of the statistics about the impact of the incarcerated person and their families, and specifically as it relates to drugs and the violence associated with that particular substance. She has started what they call a monthly chat room, and the movement has grown to involve many other organizations. One particular organization that's involved is the University of Texas at Arlington, and the particular gentleman that I'm working with making a positive contribution is Dr. Dulaney. He's the chair for the Department of History out of UTA. And so every month they have what they call Chat Room Arlington. And the chat room brings together people from various walks of life, including the students and other professors at the university, to discuss and to address contemporary issues that affect us, our families, and our communities. So this coming Tuesday, July the 8th, I'm going to be their guest presenter from 7 to 8 as we discuss what we call the formerly incarcerated and convicted people's movement. This is a national organization that is made up first and foremost by formerly incarcerated and convicted persons, partnering with other individuals and organizations who are concerned with the ramifications and the impact of being incarcerated on our children, families, and our communities, specifically from a social and an economic impact. Now, according to the Sentencing Project Research and Advocacy for Reform, there are about 1.7 million children in the United States with an incarcerated person. More than half of those incarcerated parents in a state prison and almost half of those parents in a federal prison have never had a personal visit from their children. Some of that's due to the geographical location and distance for the family, which raises financial issues and costs. Because remember, we said that about 7.9 million, 11% of these children are living in a family that's below the federal poverty level. That means that they have $22,000 or less per year for a family of four. So families are faced with tough decisions. Do we expend our limited resources for travel and expenses associated with visiting the incarcerated parent or person? Or do we take care of the basic necessities, such as housing and food and so forth? And so these things result in a breakdown in our family system, which consequently results in a breakdown in our communities. And obviously the people of color, African Americans and Hispanics, are impacted more so than any other ethnic group. So we're trying to figure out what can be done about these kinds of things. Well, one of the issues is that when people do their time and are released, there should be a more concerted effort to initiate and to engage those individuals in their efforts, or as they extend efforts to try to re-enter and to define a meaningful role and a place in society that will enable them to become contributing, productive members for themselves, for their family, and for their children. So what we're aiming at is trying to look at those kind of policy issues in those areas within the five institutions, family, faith, education, economic, and government, that impede or hinder that reintegration. Okay? And so one of the areas is what we call the eradication of disenfranchisement, where people are continued to be punished long after they paid their price and dues to society for whatever crime that they were deemed as having committed. When we talk about disenfranchisement, we're talking about when people are denied equal opportunity and equal access to vote, to have the respect and dignity of our communities in the pursuit of jobs, housing, meaningful discourse. So our meetings are to try to educate the public and to extend the circle of family and friends for the formerly incarcerated persons and their families so that they have the support, the understanding, and the political power and clout to tear down these Jericho walls and things that are right there on the border of the River of Jordan that prevents them from entering into the promised land and gaining access to all that God has made available for all his children. So that's something that we're committed to, and we're really excited as various schools, UT in Arlington, Cedar Valley Community College, some other social organizations such as United Way, the Jewish League, the Jewish Women's Association, Catholic Charities, all these organizations are recognizing and taking a position and issuing position letters in support of the abolishment or eradication of what we call private prisons and the heinous effects and impacts it have not only on the incarcerated person, but on their families and particularly their children.
Amen. Now, on the event that's coming up here next week on the 8th, what can we expect if we go over to that event and participate in it?
Well, it's a two-hour program. The first hour from 7 to 8 is the actual is actually what we call the discussion, where we get into looking at some of the relevant issues and getting into some serious dialogues about not only the problem, but spending time and relevant time in discussing some of the issues and solutions.
Amen.
For
yes.
Addressing these kinds of things. And what each of us individually, and you mentioned earlier, and so did your guest, is that sometimes we think that the task is too formidable to us, that we're focusing on the giants, okay? And we have to face our giants and not perceive ourselves as being grasshoppers in their eyes. When we're saying we're grasshoppers in our own mind, in our own eyes, because we're looking at unlimited abilities and not focusing on the unlimited potential and ability that God has given us through the Holy Spirit and through his word and through collaborative efforts. So we spend more time talking about what we can do, the little things that make a significant impact on those children's lives. And then after the discussion and dialogue from 7 to 8, there's usually a little fellowship community meal that we have from 8 until 9 so that we can begin to develop some familiarity and some fellowship with one another as we come together to address this issue at large.
Now, Mike, is this something that goes on once a month, or how often are you having any type of meeting? Because I know that we cannot cover everything.
Once a month, and there are two meetings that are held each month. One is held at Mothers Against Teen Violence office and location, which is over off of Lamar near Fair Park.
Okay.
And then we have this one that's held at UT Arlington, that's sponsored by the Department of History. And then once every 3 months, once a quarter, they meet in Austin, as they prepare to identify strategies and the game plan for impacting our next legislative session, which is coming up in 2015, where they hope to be able to influence state legislation around some of these what we call nonviolent offenses that are being criminalized and resulting in people being incarcerated. You know, something like maybe two-thirds of the people who are in state and federal prisons are in there for nonviolent crimes, most
exactly.
of them associated with drug problems.
Yeah.
And drug is
yeah.
a social issue, not a criminal issue. Okay.
And now tell me something. What are some of the past results that came out of these type of meetings that are positive? To give our listening audience an impact that it does make a difference.
Well, let me give you two things that we're trying to spearhead right now. One is called Ban the Box. Ban the Box is the application that's used for housing, jobs, insurance, for a variety of things. And there's a question on the application that asks, have you ever been convicted of a felony? If you answer yes to that question, then your application, for the most part, will be discarded, and you never get an interview. You never get a chance to gain access to housing. And we believe that that's discriminatory, because people coming out of prisons and jails are required to have housing, to have jobs,
yes,
and to be meaningfully engaged and involved in what we call the rhythms of the basic rhythms of life. But if you're denied access to housing, you're denied reasonable employment, then it's no surprise when something like 70% of the people return coming from prison return within 18 to 36 months, because if you can't get your basic needs met. So we're trying to spearhead a petition drive where we can collect enough signatures to try to get this particular issue on the agenda on various municipality or what we call city council agendas, so we can share with them the relevant information, the impact this has not only on individuals and families, but the communities, because it deprives people of the opportunity to gain employment, to purchase homes, and all those things create tax base that helps to improve the quality of life in those neighborhoods that are probably the most underserved and impoverished areas. So that's one. Another is when we talk about things like clean slate, is that people don't know that there are laws on the books that specify after a certain period of time that your conviction, depending on the nature of it, can be expunged or sealed or cleaned from your record. So that when people are doing background checks, some of the things that are now hindering you won't be there to negatively impact you. So we're trying to work on getting attorneys and other legal professionals to donate a few hours once a month or once every quarter to hold workshops or seminars where people can come in who are formerly incarcerated, have their case or situation reviewed to determine if they're eligible to have their records clean, so you can remove that negative stigma that follows you around. They have a saying in corrections that once you put on a jacket, you got to wear it for the rest of your life. Well, I don't believe that. I believe that any man or woman who's in Christ, old things have passed away, all those old jackets. We put on the robe of righteousness, and we become a new creature. And we should be defined not by what we have done, but what we are doing in conjunction with Jesus Christ, who's cleaning us up on the inside so that we can shine brightly on the outside and make a positive contribution to our communities and our society at large.
Amen. So oh, that is powerful. Again, give us the date and the time of that event, because we want people to be aware of what's going on, because sometimes people say, I just didn't know. Now, this is an opportunity for you to get involved and to know. Give us the date and time of that event again.
Okay, it's Chat Room Arlington. Okay, it's Tuesday, July the 8th, starting at 7 p.m. Okay. It's located on the campus of UTA, room 205 University Hall. Okay? That's room 205 University Hall at the University of Texas at Arlington, July the 8th at 7 p.m. And if they need more information and can even, in some instances, may help with transportation, they can call me at 214-900-4179 or 972-218-7989. That's 214-900-4179 or 972-218-7989. And we can provide them with specific information maybe even assist with some transportation. Okay.
Now, hey, man, that sounds great. And I tell you what, now, we want to shift gears here just for a moment, because we're coming to the end of this program. This has been a great program. You've been very informative and precise, and we want to thank God for the information that you have and that you're willing to share. And we pray that people take heart to what they listen, what they hear, and what they're being presented, and they, too, would apply it in their ministry to the best of their ability, and God to do the rest. Now, you have an event coming up at your church. Please tell us about that event and what is and the lives that's going to be affected by that.
Okay.
Well, thank you. I'm really happy to have the opportunity to share with the community that our church is a community-focused church. And what we're planning is an event. It's called Community Movie Night, or Movie, Food, and Fun. It's going to be held this coming Friday, July the 11th, starting at 7 o'clock. We're going to have an outdoor festive occasion where we're going to have blow-up screen and the full quad stereo system and everything else. And we're going to show a movie. As a matter of fact, the title of the movie is called Facing the Giants. It's a wonderful movie that has a Christian theme and that embodies the whole concept, the idea that there's no problem or no mountain too great for Jesus. And that when we keep our eyes on the prize and understand what we have within us, how we can make a difference, not just for our lives, but for our community and the people that live within our community. So we're going to have the movies, we're going to have popcorn and food and other fun, entertaining kinds of activities. And the whole purpose is to bring our community, our neighborhood together out there in Lancaster. You know, our church is located at 1004 North Jefferson, which is encompassed by North Dallas Avenue and the Pleasant Run Road area near Lancaster High School and Cedar Valley College. And, you know, we have a very dynamic community. It's eclectic and very diverse in terms of Hispanics, African Americans, and Caucasians. And we want to do something that will enable all of us to kind of come together and to get to know one another, you know, because, see, communities are formed by a diverse group of people who come together. I like to borrow the name from colleges. We call colleges universities, which is really a composite of two words, unity and diversity. So we put it together and say university. Well, our neighborhood is a university. It's made up of a lot of different people who all want the same thing. We want the best that God has made available for us, and we want to have a strong neighborhood where the quality of life is positive and where people know one another and support one another and work together for one another. And so we think this is one of the things that can help initiate and move us forward in getting to know each other and to begin to support one another. So that's going to be this coming Friday, July the 11th at 7 p.m. Again, the numbers that you can call to get more information is 972-218-9789 and 214-900-4179. And we're encouraging all to come out, and not just from Lancaster. You know, we're really big on what we call Grow Southern Dallas County and what we call Southwest Cities. You know, that's the southern part of Dallas City, and that's Lancaster, Hutchins, Wilmer, DeSoto, and so forth, that we want to all come together because we're all in the same melting pot. Okay? And God is trying to cook up something wonderful for us, and so we need to get involved. So I encourage everyone to contact us and find out what's going on, and if you're interested, what you can do to help make this a monumental event and occasion.
Hey, oh, that sounds great. Now, again, what's that time?
Time is 7 o'clock. It's coming Friday, July 11th.
All right, that sounds great. I believe that this is the first of many events of this type that's coming down the pipeline.
That is true. That is true. We have so many things. You know, we have our Black Men Down Missing in Action. We have our community partner program where people can come and actually apply for their state benefits such as TANF and SNAP, which is a food stamp program. You can apply for your health insurance and Medicaid through our church and so forth. We have a number of things that we're doing right now. We're working with the college on trying to come up with some economic opportunities and ways for families to save money by reducing their costs by being energy efficient and finding ways to reduce your household expenses and so forth.
And, you know, and when I was growing up, that's what the church was all about, involved in the community, helping changing lives and having a place to go while other social agencies are being overburdened and overwhelmed, because it doesn't do us any good. I'm saying, as church people, as believers, to say, I pray for you, but they don't have no resources to assist you along that way. Jesus, he had the masses following him, and they was hungry. And they said, send them away. He said, no, what do you have? You know, what do we have to work within God's kingdom? What do you have in your hands? Was once asked, you know. And so God can work with what we have. And I thank you and your church and for what y'all are doing to make a difference in the lives of God's people. Because, Mike, I am truly convinced that we shouldn't be so caught up pursuing the things of God that we're not concerned about the people of God. And I take that to heart. You know, even Jesus stopped. You know, he stopped for blind Bartimaeus, and they said, bring him over here. He was on his way to Jerusalem. He was doing something, and he stopped and said, bring him over here. And they said, what would you have me to do? And he told that man, you know, your faith that made you whole. But I love that, Mike, because they said that man dropped his possession. What are you willing to let go and let God, man? You know, brother, I said that to you, because you do a lot of things, man, but you're willing to let some stuff go to let God, man. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I'm too busy. But what are you willing to let go of and let God? You know, as you go to ministry, man, you have to let some things go, because you have a life, you know, you have family, you have social events you like to go to, and you do those things, but also you take care of the bigger things, the things that are concerning God, man. And God be the glory. So my hat goes off to you and your ministry team for continually to go about our Father's business, brother.
Well, I appreciate that, Joel. And, you know, I recognize that, you know, I'm learning and growing too, that, you know, God's work is just like nature. It's very diverse. You know, you have different kinds of creatures who glorify God in different and unique ways. And so are our ministries. We have people who have direct involvement, hands-on, by feeding people and housing people and so forth. And then you have those organizations and individuals who are responsible for addressing the policies and the conditions that create the need for people having to be fed and be hungry. So we're all working for the same common cause and the same common good, and that is to empower individuals and families so that they may avail themselves of the tremendous resources and opportunities that God has made in his creation. That's why he said all through the creative process, it's good, it's good, it's good. But he only said very good when he talked about his crowning jewel, and that was the creation of humanity and mankind. When we recognize just how powerful we are and how we have different responsibilities and different gifts, but they're all to be used for the common good of all people, then we'll make a radical difference in the world.
And that is so true. That is so true. And we can make that difference by going about our Father's business, by doing things that God put our hands to do. You know, and you know, faith is a simple thing, Mike. It's just trusting God at his word, brother. You know, a lot of times, you know, you think, you know, you look at that faith, but have you just considered trusting God? Do you believe that the word is able to do what it said it could do? You know, I did a message a couple of weeks ago down at the on the street ministry saying it was more than just words. You know, we have to believe that what we're doing is more, you know, with more than just words. You know, when Jesus said, I love you, that's more than just words. He said, I will never leave you. That was more than just words. He said, come to me just the way you are. Those are more than just words. And I thank you, brother, for what you're doing, because you're showing us that it's more than just words. It's action that's behind those words, brother. And so we pray that what you're a part of, and that it continually be a blessing to the hearers and the doers, man, that they too can be a part of it and help change a life in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, we get ready to get out of here, brother. Thank you very much for being a part of the program. Mike, and you're always welcome here, and we look forward to you keeping us up to date of what's going on there, brother. And what you're doing is in that reentry program. I love that, bro, because I'm associated with guys that see in jail. They're looking for place, and they're looking for organization. They're seeking the help, man, and that help only comes from Jesus and from God, man. So thank you, brother, for continually to be a conduit for those brothers that are seeking to have a relationship with our Lord and Savior.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, for not only sharing with the community what we're doing, but thank you for the opportunity to be in service of the Almighty God and to be able to partner with people like you who are really making a difference, not just in the world, but in the lives of individual people. Praise the Lord.
Amen. God bless you, brother. We're going to get out of here. Elder Michael Clemens, thank you for that information. And thank you, listening audience, for being a part of what we're doing this morning. We're on here every Saturday morning from 8 to 9, and we're being blessed with great guests each and every week. We pray that you're being blessed and empowered and impacted by what you're hearing. And as you start your day, be mindful that God has started and God has finished it. Be mindful that God is ordering your steps. Be mindful to be a blessing to someone, and in turn, you will be blessed. You know, as you go out, give this day unto God. You know, allow him to work his wonder working power. Do not be overwhelmed or dismayed by the thing that's been presented to you, because our God in heaven is in control and over all things. Thank you for being a part of this program. We want to thank Beverly Beasley at Granny's Place, and we want to ask you to continue to follow this program and all the programs on Blog Talk Network, my sister, my friend, Straight Talk, and also we have a ministry program for the First Free Will Baptist Church for coming up on Sunday. We add another program onto this network. We'll share with you later about that. But we're going to get out of here. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the two guests that we had on this morning. Pastor Waylee, dear Lord, we want to thank you for him and what he's doing in his ministry, dear Lord, through the Word of God, Change Your Heart Ministry. That ministry is truly changing hearts of God's people. We thank you for Elder Michael Fleming, dear Lord, how he have a passion and desire, dear Lord, to change lives of men and women that's re-entering the society after being incarcerated, how he's on the forefront to help change some laws, dear Lord, to allow these men and women to be productive in society. Bless them, strengthen them, encourage them in the name of Jesus. We pray for all our listening audience, dear Lord. We thank you for this here opportunity. We pray these in the mighty name of Jesus, which is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
There is a word especially for you. Not with